And we got up to yesterday with two dots on the top of the dot. So, okay, I mean, we don't even need to review really some new sugya here. Starts the Gemara on the sixth line. So we have, the fifth line, sorry, it's a chai b'mita patur afal mita, I quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah was mechadish to us that even if you took out pachot mikashir, so once you're potter on the pachot mikashir, even though you have a very large thing that's holding that pachot mikashir, you're not going to be chayav on that thing because that thing was secondary to what you carry. And therefore, you can get away, so to speak, with anything in a sense. So one of the cases that we had in the Mishnah was where you're carrying out a chai, you're carrying out a living person on a bed. Surprisingly, you're patura falamitan. The question is, why aren't you chayav on the person? So it seems clear from here that a living entity, at least what it would appear, a living entity is not something which you're chayav hotza'ah on. And we'll see there's a concept of achai nose et atzmo. In other words, the things that were carried out in the Melechet HaMishkan were things that were not themselves involved in the tzura of their hotza'ah. Since a chai naturally has a tendency to balance itself, and it's not what we call dead weight, even in English, dead weight means weight that does not participate in its carrying out. So it's equivalent to the mate, literally, is the case in the Mishnah, dead weight. But a chai actually participates in its own hotzah through balancing itself. And therefore, Stosis explains that that's the idea, but that doesn't mean literally it's lighter, obviously. But it's not, says the Ri, it's not similar to the Malachas Hotzah and the Mishkan. The Malachas Hotzah and the Mishkan were of things that had absolutely no involvement in the Hotzah. That approach avoids the question that the Achronim ask of why this issue of Achai Noseh Atatzmo is not similar to the question we had yesterday of Misayeya. You're saying the Chai also is helping in the Hotzah. Okay, but I mean, we said yesterday that Misayeya in Bo Mamash, so what's the difference? Obviously, with this explanation, that's completely irrelevant. Totally irrelevant question. The Tsurav Hotza'ah, it's not a question of being Misayeya in the Hotza'ah. The Tsurav, the Hotza'ah in the Mishkan, was the Hotza'ah of dead weight, and this is not dead weight, and therefore you would be put to it. However, it would appear that there's a machlokus about this issue. And therefore, we're surprised to find that lema matnitin rabbi natani velo rabbanan. Apparently, the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Natan, who is a dat yachid, not according to the rabbanan, because it would appear that the rabbanan hold we don't believe that a chayav noseh at atzmo. Don't consider it relevant. The Tanya, hamotzi beimar chayav ba'of l'rishut rabim, someone who carries out a ba'al chay into Rishut Rabim from Rishut Ayachid, Ben Chayim, Ben Shechutim, Chayav. So the Tanna Kamma holds, makes no difference if what you're carrying is alive or whether it's dead meat. Rabbi Datan Omer, Al Shechutim Chayav, only on the meat he would be Chayav. But Al Chayim Patur, Shach Chay Noseet Atzmo. So why then does our Mishnah take for granted that if you're being motzi chai b'mita, you're patur on the chai, and therefore you're patur on the mita as well? Omar Rava, afil teima rabbanan. What are you confusing the two issues? The use of the word chai misled you. You thought that chai means any living being. That's not true. The machloket rabbanan and Rabbi Natan, adkan lo pligi rabbanan later Rabbi Natan, elabeim b'beima chayav of. The misharbetei nafshayu. The problem is that when you are carrying a bal chai that is struggling to get away from you, then there are two issues that are going on in that bal chai. There's a tendency that it has, of course, to protect itself, but so search for a mishkal, because every bal chai is afraid when it's suspended in the air. But at the same time, it wants to get away. And since it wants to get away, it's not interested in cooperating with you. It's trying to drop. So even though it doesn't want to get hurt, but it certainly doesn't want to be relaxedly balanced in your arms. Mashenkin, when you're carrying out a person, that chai is no seyat atzmo. So that's the machlokas, whether the fact that it also is misharbet nafshayu, it attempts to concentrate its weight in a place where you are weakest, so in other words, it senses, okay, you're holding the edges, we'll try to fall out in the middle. So that part is certainly not being made, that's a machlokas. Whether that is enough similar to the Hotzav, the Mishkan of dead weight, or Lamaisa, this is not dead weight. But an Adam Chai is certainly, whereas Nosiat Atzmo, certainly the Rabbanan would also be Modeh. Therefore, our Mishnah is true, both Alibad Rabbi Natan and Alibad Rabbanan. And if you have a Chai in a Mitah, then you're Potter on the Chai. And therefore comes along the Mishnah to say, since that's Muskam, nobody argues on that, therefore you're Potter on the bed as well.
And it would be a difference also in a pen that you carry out. Who enjoys being carried with an attendant, they wouldn't fight, it wouldn't try to get away. An animal that is friendly would not try to escape, would be the same as a human being.
We're going to actually talk about that in a moment. Yeah. Omar le Rav Ada bar Ava le Rav. I have a little bit of a problem with that, because you know that we have the famous race we had in Avodah Zorah that Ben Biteraz Matir B'Sus, he holds that you're allowed to sell a sus to a goy. And remember, we have a problem that we made a gezera not to be mocher v'himagasa to an arkum because of the possibility that you may open a rent ashore company, and if the goy will use it, then on Shabbos, then you got a problem with Shvitat Be'em Tov, and so Mela, okay, they wanted to answer it, and so on. But a horse has been Matera. If you've got to rent a horse, I mean, what do you think people go to a rental horse place for? Because they're trying to go visit their in-laws. I mean, so they're riding. That's what a rental horse is for. I mean, you're going to use a horse for something. So therefore, a rental horse won't anyway be doing a malacha on Shabbos, because what are you going to be doing? Riding? The guy's going to be riding. Riding isn't a malacha. What about Hotzah? Oh, because Achai no see it, that's more. So that horse has got a living being on its back. Now, the problem is, you say, so far everything's fine, but the Brisa adds, V'tzanya ben b'teiram matir b'sus, mipnei sho'oseh bo melacha she'ein chayavim alav chatat, meaning, because it's Achai no see it, that's more. And Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, I never heard anybody object to this, that Ben Beteira and Rabbi Natan are no devar achad. In other words, since Rabbi Natan says that when it comes to carrying on Shabbos a behema chayav oath, and that you would be potter, and the Rabbanan argue, we'll have to say that Ben Beteira was going to leave the shita of Rabbi Natan. Now, according to you, it has absolutely nothing to do with it. Because according to you, after all, everybody is moda in the horse, which is going to be carrying a human rider, obviously. I mean, what are you going to put your pet monkey on the back of the horse? So, therefore, the Shiloh over here would be, is the horse going to do a malacha by carrying a human? Not is the horse going to be doing a malacha by carrying an animal. So why did you bring it in? If you tell me that the Rabbanan never would argue on Rabbi Natan, except in the case of Behema Chayav Oof, Mishum de Misharbate Nafshayo, they're trying to find a weak place where they can pull themselves out. So then what does that have to do with it? What do you mean? Mayar Ben Beteir of Rabbi Natan? Why did you mention a connection between Ben Beteir and Rabbi Natan Shita? Be'amet Afilo Rabbanan Moda. According to you, the Rabbanan would also be Moda. As Ben Beteir, I could have said it according to everyone. He could have said, well, the Rabbanan were matir also, besus, because they also wrote that a human writer is no seyat adzuma. Well, that's true, I mean, but Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about horses that were for people. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about horses that are driven by birds, obviously. Look at that turkey on the horse over there. So that's a susam yuchad la'ofo. Hey man, what are you talking? What does that mean? In the ikeda baby daan, or I mean, that's probably a little bit of a messed up girsa via dan, which is supposed to be tsayad of a foot, but I mean usually the vazaidan is a trapper, like a hawk You know, with these guys, they use the Ophot to go trap. Falcons, or yeah. So they have birds that are trained to ride on their horse and to take off when they see a nice bird to trap. So those birds, in fact, would be riding the horses. And that's Miyufalofus, when obviously that's not the only horse he's talking about. But since Ben Beteraz Matir Besus, he was Matir on all Susim. There's no problem. He said, you rent a sus. How about where this is a trained pair, sus, falcon, okay? It's also mutter. Rabbanan aser on all susim, even though this one is for an adam, because according to them, the sus that was miyufid la'ov would be, in fact, a problem. And so because of that, we wanted to say that it was going bedavka, according to Rabbi Natan. But Lamaisa, had it not been for such a case, we wouldn't have had to involve Rabbi Natan at all. Now, the problem is that how about those birds? I mean, those birds aren't trying to be Masharbit and Abshire, are they? Obviously.
I mean, they're carrying themselves over.
Well, they're not trying to get away. I mean, the Machlokes Rabbi Natan and the Rabbonon was whether we would say that on such a horse, on such a Balchai, you're carrying a Balchai, the reason Rabbonon were Chelek on Rabbi Natan was because of the chai is yes, no say that's small, but it's also attempting to escape, and therefore it's considered to be trying to be dead weight, at least. Right? So therefore it would be true, Hotsaw. But these birds are certainly not trying to escape. I mean, they're trained birds. They're riding, and then they're gonna. So what does this mean? Chai no say that's small in such a case. So why is that Rabbi Natan? Remember, we just kept finished saying the Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan hold? That in a case where you're carrying an animal, this is why I said we're going to be talking about Sabah Joshua's Kasha, in a case where you have an animal that is attempting to get away from you, that over there, it can't be called a Chai Nosei Adatzmo. That's how Rav explained it. The only Machlokas is because it's Misharbet in Abshayr. But when it would come to an oath that is riding on a horse, obviously that particular oath is not attempting to be Masharbet Nafshayot. It's a trained bird that is happily driving along and ready to take off. I mean, this is a aircraft carrier, basically, this horse, right?
Okay. So maybe back to the Rove, the species is the Rove bird that wouldn't be trained and do that, so...
So we're so convinced that that's the case, we're saying it would only be true only by Rabbi Natan? Or is what it simply means, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say, not that it's going like Rabbi Natan, but that Rabbi Yochanan is saying basically the same thing as Rabbi Natan, in other words, that he's talking about being matir of Chai Nosei Atatzmo, even on animals. As to whether he would have said it on all animals or not animals, I mean, that's not our discussion. I'm just pointing out, did we not have a machlokas between Rabbi Natan and the Rabbanan about animals? Here you got a case where somebody's talking about a heter of being mocher a sus, even a sus that's going to be carrying an animal. That's all that he means. This is how Rashi means. Okay, so then we've got two examples of such a klal. Your rental horse company and your Rabbi Natan's case of somebody who actually carries out a balchai. Omer of Yochanan, Umoda Rabbi Natan bekafut. Now, when you'd be talking about a tied up animal, or for that matter, even a tied up human, where over there he's not free to balance his weight as he wishes, a tied up person becomes dead weight. So you shouldn't think that what Rabbi Natan is saying is that even though he's Misharbit Nafshayim, the element that is to some extent balanced out no matter what, out of simple instinct, is sufficient to say it's not similar to the Mishnah. So you would extend that to include, even in a case where it's tied up, there's still some ability to maneuver, that would be sufficient, whether you're talking about Adam or Behemah. Kamashman, that when it comes to Adam or Behemah, Alibi de Rabbi Natan, I want you to know that there has to be more maneuverability than simply being held by somebody, tied up. You can be held by somebody. If you're tied up, then for all intents and purposes, you're dead weight. Omele Ravada Bar Masla Bainat. Wait, why are you saying that? I mean, when we were talking about your rental horse company, I mean, were you don't have any branches in Persia? I mean, Rabbi Natan is being matir even the Persian branches that they open on Shabbos, right? But the problem is that these guys, I mean, you look at the people that rent horses in Persia, for all intents and purposes, they might as well be dead. I mean, these Persians, you never get them to move, you know? They wear these clothes in which, for all intents and purposes, if they'd have to move, they wouldn't be able to because they're so stiff in them and they're wrapped in them. Besides which, they're too arrogant to even walk themselves. They're carried around all the time with their palanquins and then you stick them on the animal. So they should be dead weight as far as I'm concerned. And therefore, if you dress like that, imagine I'm dressing in, armor, chain armor, you can barely move. I mean, that's the same thing as kafut, right? And so that's how these guys dress. Nonetheless, Ben Bekeira was matir, and Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Bekeira and Rabbi Natan amru davar achad, and you said that Rabbi Natan would never have gone so far as to say kafut, and here, apparently it is the same, whether it's kafut or not. Answers. Now, Rav Ada bar Ava, hey, these guys that never move because they're all tied up. Huh? You know why they never move? Because they're too darn arrogant to move. It's Ramot Rucho the Nakitahu. It's just part of the arrogant stance that you just sit there, But I'll tell you, man, I once saw an official get into trouble. The cops were after him. This guy, who never managed to budge an inch, suddenly ran 3 parasoters, 36 kilometers, without having even his shoes on. He got them off fast, and he just went through that sand. You should have watched him move. So these guys can move. They just make themselves look like they can't move. That's right. It's amet b'mitachayav, v'chein kizayet min amet. And in all of these cases, Rabbi Shimon is poter, because Rabbi Shimon says that it has to be a malacha that is sricha legufa. Now you should know that this is a good place to discuss the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about the nature of malacha and sricha legufa, because this is basically where Tosfos expounds his theory, and he says malacha and sricha legufa is a simple yesod of comparison to the particular tzorach in the Mishkan. In other words, we're talking about Rashi says, is where, in any case, where you would need to deal with the situation that you want to deal with. But if you would have preferred that this had never been here, I mean, you don't need the mate at all. It would be absolutely okay with you if the guy just stayed alive. So therefore, anything that you're doing is basically something that you're doing with reluctance. Because as far as you're concerned, you have no interest, there's nothing positive about this. It just has to be taken care of. So as far as you're concerned, it's a malachim and tzrikha legufa. That approach avoids a lot of the problems. For instance, you're taking a mace out. I mean, well, I understand. If you're carrying out a lulav, what are you going to say? Saying circle of goofa, I don't need the lulav. What do you mean? You need to do the mitzvah of the lulav. You take a mace out for kura, telling me that it's any different than taking out a lulav to be out to the mitzvah. I mean, that's the mitzvah. So why is that name circle of goofa? So there's a lot of discussion about this in the Achronim. What makes it name circle of goofa? We're going to talk about taking out the lulav for it. So the way that Rashi's understanding it is that, but that's not the point. I do not have anything positive in my life that I would have needed to do if this mace wouldn't have been here, and I have no interest in this mace here. Therefore, I have no interest in anything that's being achieved here, because it's only being achieved against what it is that I would want to achieve. So why call that a malacha? The idea of a malacha is that a man has a strategy for what it is he's going to do in life. This is part of the things that he wants to achieve. Malacha is positive achievement. It has to be positive. It can't be anything that's going to... Okay, so therefore, miritzono lo haya balo is the way Rashi puts it. Tosfos considers that to be irrelevant. What's the difference? You're dealing with life as it is. Well, who cares what would have been what, you know, if your grandmother had wheels? I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's in front of you. How are you going to deal with it? Therefore, according to Tosfos, the issue is, what was the Mishkan's definition of this malacha? Since in the Mishkan, the whole point of the Hotzah, which was the carrying of the Mishkan from place to place, was in order to make use of that which I carried in the place that I'm carrying it to, that becomes the definition of the malacha. And he goes through many, many examples of this, the cases that we had, the tzad, for instance. Your tzad the nachash, your patur. Why? Because in the Mishkan, when you were tzad, you were tzad the thing that you needed to use for the Mishkan, not tzad the thing that you needed to get away from you. Again, according to Rashi, it's just there's nothing positive in this tzad, because as far as you're concerned, you wish the snake wouldn't be there in the first place. Hey, what's the point of that, says Tosfos?
You want the venom of the snake?
Then in a chinami, you'd be fine. That's no difference of being tzad for the or.
So Rashi didn't get you.
Have you been milking the nakashi lately?
So for Rashi, even though it's a mitzvah, it's more a question of whether it's kavua or rai in this situation?
No, it's a question of whether this is something positive for you or not. Is it an achievement for you, or it's only something that needs to be done that would much rather not have been there in the first place? Okay, so again, here is where you should just know, here is where Tosis goes through all of the examples that we had in the Gemara of Malach Shrein Tzvich LaGufa, and shows why it has nothing to do with you particularly, but why it's not similar to the malacha in its primary place, which is in the Mishkan. Omar Rabba bar Rachana Rav Yochanan, V'omer Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. You should know that when Rav Shimon says that you're patur because of malacha shein atzicha legufa, poter haya Rav Shimon, af b'motzi et hamet lekovro. You shouldn't think that the malacha shein atzicha legufa is where there's no advantage at all, not to you and not to the mate. But had there been advantage to the mate, so then eino chinami, that's a positive act, or that is similar to the act as it was in the Mishkan, because the use, so to speak, of the mate is to bury the mate. That's what he's good for. He's good for burial. So maybe that is similar to the Mishkan, the way Tosis is learning. Or maybe that is a positive thing, that you're being Mekayim, the burial. You might think that that's considered to be Tzricha Legufa. Therefore, comes along now the Gemara to say that Rabbi Shimon was Matir even the Motziat HaMet HaKovro. Now, the question there from the, when you say Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, would mean, what would the actual meaning be of the word? According to Rashi, I don't need it qua it. I don't need it for what it is. According to Tosis, I don't need it as it's fundamentally defined. The gufa of the malacha, not the gufa of what I'm doing the malacha to. According to Rashi, the point over here is, I don't need what I'm dealing with here. According to Tosis, I'm not doing it for the purpose of which the malacha is. So it's not the gufa shel milacha. So it's a very different meaning. And so I'd be questioning, do I need it for the mate, as opposed to, do I need it for the nature of hotza'ah? That's what Rashi is saying. Well, you don't need it for the mate. Now, this becomes important in the sugya that we're about to begin, which Rava says, when Rabbi Shimon says, that it's not malacha tzricha legufa, moda Rabbi Shimon, if you're carrying out a hoe, and you need that hoe to dig something with. You're carrying out a Sefer Torah, and you need that Sefer Torah to read, that you would be chayav. Says the Gemara, well, I sure hope so. I mean, because if you're not chayav there, I guess you'd never be chayav. It's a pshita. If that's called a malach shein tzricha legufa, well, what the heck is a malach shein tzricha legufa? Di ha nami malach shein tzricha legufa? So then, malachas tzrichalik gufala rabbi shimon eichem mishkachas. Could you please give me an example of what is a malachas tzrichalik gufa? I'm carrying out the Sefer Torah and I'm going to read it, but that's not tzrichalik gufa. What is that supposed to mean? Now, if you think about it, the hotzah of the Mishkan was tzrichalik gufa to have a Mishkan, but it was also tzrichalik gufa to be able to put the Mishkan back together. So in other words, the question is, I'm going to use what it is that I took out. But not only am I going to use it, I am going to fix it. So that when I take out something, and I do a malachas hotzah, and note that this is the first time that we've even considered the possibility that hotzah, until now we've said, gosh, there's something screwy about hotzah, because I don't do anything to the object, I only change its physical coordinates. The first time that we're considering that maybe Hotza'ah consists of changing the physical coordinates in order to do something to the object, not simply to use the object, which is irrelevant to the object. I'm going to be using the Sefer Torah. It makes no difference to Sefer Torah whether I happen to be there looking at it to read it. I mean, of course, unless you hold up the Zen problem of one hand, a clapper or a tree that falls in the forest, or, you know, that kind of thing, or maybe a quantum mechanical issue if you're not looking at the Sefer Torah, does the Sefer Torah revert to an undefined wave function and so on. But generally speaking, we believe that the Sefer Torah couldn't care less whether you're looking at it or you're not looking at it. So, Mamela, I would have thought, interestingly enough, that the only thing that is called hotzah, if you hold it, it has to be tzricha legufa, which according to Rashi means, therefore, for the purposes of the thing, or even according to Tosis, for the purposes of the ikar malacha, which always involved not simply your use of the object, but your use for the object, because you couldn't use that mishkan until you put it back together again. So by definition, your hotzah involves something that you're going to do with the object, correct? And to the object. So maybe over here, when I take out a Sefer Torah, the only way I would be chayev is if the Sefer Torah has in it a ta'ut, and I need to check it over and then use it. So I need to be magia. Ah! So now it's like the Mishkan. You're taking it out, you're fixing it, and you're reading it. You're taking out a hoe. Yeah, it's talking about a hoe that has a bent metal piece. So you're also going to put on a new metal, and then you're going to use it to dig. Okay, that's the same. I had a Mishkan, put the Mishkan together, and now I'm going to use the Mishkan. Maybe at kedei kach, we would say, that that's the definition of a malachas tzricha legufa when it comes to hotzah. Fascinating, right? So therefore comes along now the chiddush of Rava, which the Gemara originally thought was absolutely laughable. Understand? They're carrying out the Sefer Torah to read it. I mean, I should hope so. Don't jump to conclusions. Not necessarily. So, you know, I would have said, Ma detema atiika legufo ulegufa. That not, now here, again, the use of gufo and gufa is different depending on how you understand it. In other words, legufa shel ha-sefer or legufa shel ha-malacha. Okay, but in any way, or legufa, for your own use of the thing. So ma'o detema ad de'ika legufo ulegufa. You have to be able to do something also for it, and to be able to use it. So like, for instance, you've got the mar, go ahead and make a tas on it first, and then be choferbo. By the way, you'll notice once again, we have the relationship of the chet, of mortality to all of the inyanim that come from. So the mar dad of the chamor, the mar which is needed in order to dig, which you didn't need to hoe before the chet of Adam, which is the kotz v'dardar tatzmiach, so therefore it's related to mortality directly. It uses again the mordor, the mar issue, right? So the mar lach korbo is only if you're going to fix it. The Sefer Torah was only if you're going to be magia, and then you'll read from it. And therefore it comes to tell me that no, it's actually considered to be a malachas tzrichalik gufa if the element that you're taking out is going to be used, not necessarily is going to be fixed.
But the malacha that he has to do on the guf, that is also
happy. So, how does that change anything?
So
Maybe it is, maybe it is.
Say that what you think of doing is...
You're a very bad boy, a very bad boy. Two wrongs don't make a right. You're absolutely right about that. Now, if you gave him Hasra, he would be chayav on that too, maybe. Kill him twice. If he was a shogeg only on the Shabbos, of course, no matter how many different malachas he does, he would only be chayav once. If we get into all the shaylos before, then the question is, maybe he didn't even do it. Maybe he just thought to do it. But then it would be a malach mitzvah for the gufa. And so on and so forth. Don't forget the alien connection. So, now there was a particular mace on Shabbat, and Shorer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak Afukei LeKarmelit. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak had been matir. This mate was in a place where he was, it was Mutal B'Bizayon. Either it was in a hot location, or it was literally the house was on fire, or whatever. So they were matir carrying him into a Karmelit. Now, it didn't get around clearly that it was a Karmelit, that people thought the Maisa was. They were took him into Rosh Hashanah. So, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Afua, the Marbei Ravanel, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, gosh, how'd you do that? I mean, I assume you were relying on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, because Rav Sasa Beis says you're potter. But, I mean, he only said you're potter, he didn't say you can do it with a tefillah, did he? So, come on, Rabbi Shimon. Amalei the potter, Rabbi Shimon, Michiyuv Chatat, and all he said was potur. You'll notice that he never said mutar, even though we're talking about a maid. So Isurad Rabbanan Miyahika. Oh, Marley, so Nachum Bar Yitzchak said to him, I swear to God, Dayal Tabeat. I am going to get you to give the same sack, my dear. And not only that, forget about Rabbi Shimon. You don't even need Rabbi Shimon. You'll say exactly the same thing according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a malach shem 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 shem. I said to take him out to a Karmelite. So you're going to say, but even a Karmelite is usher. And certainly, according to Rav Yehuda, where it makes no difference whether it's a malach shem 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 or not, it's no different than any other case. Now I'm going to get you to agree. Because the chikamina l'shut rabim, what did I tell you? Take him out to l'shut rabim, which would have something to do with the machlokas anyway. I'm talking about taking him out to a Karmelite. So you're saying, okay, but what about the Yisra Rabbanan of carrying him to a Karmelite? We've already established that Godol Kevod HaBriot Shedoche Et Lo Ta'aseh Shebet Torah, as we had earlier, we talked about in Brochas and so on. If you have a need for the Bizayon mate to move the mate, the Lab of Lo Tasur, which normally covers the Takon of the Rabbanan, Rabbanan were not maimed divrehem in a situation where you're going to be mavazed the mate. You'll ask, as Tosfos does, so why is it that you need to place a kikar or a tinok on the mace in order to move the mace als mukta? If for the hotso, which is the Rabbanan, we said, forget about it. So for the mukta, which is the Rabbanan, we can't just say forget about it? So Tosfos says, we could say forget about it, but it's always available, this eitzah. You know, but what kind of eitz do you have to be matir lahalok of the tzolah karmel? You're going to have to simply do it by issue, so to speak. So Rabbanan were reminded of Rehim in that situation. So it's as long as it's possible to save the situation without simply giving a blanket, just ignore mukta. Don't ignore mukta. Take a kikar, put it on the mace. You know, that itself is a strange head there. I mean, but all right.
How about
a
brios here is only in dealing with the mace?
No, we had the place where we brought it up was the question whether you have to be poshet the kilayim b'shuk. You tell them, I mean, if there were something else, it would only be nagiyah the rabbanan, so we would allow it. Tzan hatam hatolesh simanei tum'ah. Now we know the Torah says hishamer b'nega hatzarat. That's a lashon of lo ta'aseh. Called hishamer is a lav. Hishamer b'nega hatzarat means don't do anything that will take away the simin that makes this nega tameh in order to get the kohen to be matir. So if you have a simin, for instance, of discolored hair, depending which type of nega it is, whether it's sar lavan or whether you have the the sahar, the tzahov, but you cut them. So now you bring it to the kohen, and now there's no simen of tuma in there. Or you've got a mirchia. Mirchia is where you have healthy skin that's growing in the middle of certain negayim. That's going to be considered to be a simen of tuma. So what you do is you cauterize the mirchia. And now the mirchia becomes the same as the rest of the nega because of the heat that you used on it. You've burnt your skin. So now it becomes tahor. There's no mirchia spasuchai in it. So in those cases, you would be over this of yuris, of ishamer the nega sarat. So if you were tolesh simanei tuma, or you were, let's say, that means the hair, of course, to be tolesh, or you were hichva hamichya, over below ta'asa. Now that leads us to question, what shiur? So itmar, achat mishtayim chives, if there are two hairs, since the simen is two hairs of sar lavan, so if you could take off one of them, you don't take off both of them. The moment you take off one, there's not a shear. And therefore, you were over on Ishar ibn Agat Zorat. But if you took one away from three, so anyway, you're leaving two behind, it's still going to be Tameh. So over there, you'd say, okay, so I didn't do anything to the Negat Zorat. So therefore, Achat Mishalosh, L'chora, you would be Potter. In fact, Reb Nachman says you're Chayav. Reb Shesha says you're Potter. Reb Nachman says you're Chayav because you did achieve something. What did you achieve, Hani Maisel? You achieved the fact that you made it much more likely that in the course of nature, you're going to be saved from this Negat Zoraz. Because it often happens that one hair falls out. So you figured, okay, what's the chance that I'm going to lose two of these hairs? But one of them is a good chance. So I'll cut off one, leaving two, so I didn't do it, so you figure. And then, hopefully by the time I get to the coin, one of them will be gone naturally, and then it'll be okay. That itself is called a pagam in the Yishaber B'nei Gad Sarat. To bring something right up to the edge, where that edge can easily be crossed without your needing to do it, that itself is a chiyuv. The mishitakla chod achrit, if one other one goes, ozla la tuma. You'll notice that this is often a strategy to get away with murder. You know, I won't actually do the thing I'm not supposed to do. We'll just get right up to the edge and hope that something happens to make it happen, you know. But then it won't be my fault, of course. Right? You know. So it's very interesting. So here we have a classic example of that psychology. And according to Reb Nachman, you're b'chayev anyway. Reb Sheshes Omer Patur, for the obvious reason that Hashtamiyat Ayitavatumar. It's all very nice, you made it more likely, but that's not what Hishamer means. Hishamer means to make an absolute impact, and right now the Nega is still telling. Omer Reb Sheshes, I'll prove to you. And here is why we're bringing up this sugya, otherwise that's absolutely nothing to what we're talking about. I'll prove to you, says Reb Sheshes, that bringing things up to the edge is not a pagia in the shear itself. Because take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, V'chein kizayit min amet, u'chizayit min anevela chayav, according to the Rabbanan. Now, what does that imply? That only a shear that's valuable, a kezayit. But if it would be a chatzi zayit, then you would be potter. Problem is, I got a brisa that says that if he takes out a chatzi zayit of a mate, he's also chayav, okay? Now, I don't believe that there's a machloket here. I believe that there's two different cases. Cases like this. Marla, hodetanya chayav, chayav is the afik chatzi zayit mikezayit. Whereas Hadatanya Patur is the Afik Chatzi Zayit Mikazayit V'mechza. In other words, the Mishnah is and Braita together are coming to illustrate this very issue. In order to show you how this is right at the edge, we have two cases. And we leave it to you to figure out the two cases. In one case we say, you're Potter on less than a Kazayit. Where is that? You're Potter on less than a Kazayit. Where you didn't make any difference to the tumah. But if you took out from a kezayis, a chatzizayis. That's already, that's very valuable. You took it out of the bayit, so now you don't have a shear to be matame the bayit. Okay, you're telling me that's not a valuable hotso. Elamai, it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. Obviously, we're going over here according to Rav Yehuda. Malach shein tzricha legufa. By the way, you should just know, this Mishnah is the only source we have for the fact that there is a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda about malach shein tzricha legufa. Because we've already established that the Mishnayos here, as we saw in the ratio of the Mishnah before, was Rav Yehuda. Remember, it was the Stam Mishnah, was Rav Yehuda. Because in the Mishnah Messiah, according to Rabbi Meir, you would have been Chayim. Because of that, says Tosfos, we see here a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tana Kama was unstated, but whom we know to be Rabbi Yehuda. And this is the only place where we really have an open marker to the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, about whether the Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayim. They were interested. But in any event, so if we're going over here, in one part the Mishnah says you're Potter, one part it says you're Chayim. Very simple to understand. You're Potter if you took a Chatzi Zayas away from a Kezayat Bechetzi. You're Chayim if you took a Chatzi Zayas away from less than Kezayat Bechetzi. That's the point. So what the Mishnah's Gufa coming to tell you is, don't think that you would be Chayim if you brought it right up to the edge and you had a Kezayat Bechetzi and you took out only a Chetzi so the bias is still Tame. But you're thinking to yourself, give it a couple of hours as the day gets hot and the busser now, it becomes dried out and we're going to have less of the desires here and then we got no problem with the house and everything will be okay. But I didn't do anything myself, right? So the whole point is to tell you that, so what? Bottom line is, you didn't change it right now, therefore in that case you're potter. Doesn't that make sense? Reb Nachman says, well, you know, it makes sense, but it's certainly not a proof. I mean, it could well be talking about Ide would be Chayiv. It doesn't matter whether you brought it down to an exact Kezayit, you would also be Chayiv, maybe. Maybe the case that says that your putter is talking about where you have a mate, a homemade. In which case, if you take out a Chatzi Zayis, it ain't going to make any difference anywhere, because it's not getting closer to having less than a Kezayis there. So the male, obviously, as Tosfos points out, when it says a whole maid, that doesn't mean that. It means from slightly more. That's the point. Because the whole point over here is that you bring it right down to the edge. Obviously, if you had four saros, you brought it down to three, Reb Nachman never would have said, well, you made it closer. Closer is not the point. I mean, we're not analyzing the statistics. We mean you bring it down to as close as you could bring it. That's the point. We're now, any statistical variation gets a little hotter in the house, it's going to change. You rub against something, you lost the other hair. That's where he's saying it. That's saying anytime you make something a little bit closer. So this is misleading. Chatzisai being made gadol. It has nothing to do with gadol. It simply has to do with the fact that it's more than a kezayit v'chetzi, that you brought it right down to the kezayit. But according to me, he said, maybe the mission isn't necessarily addressing that very close condition where you're right at the edge. Maybe the Mishnah is only pointing out that you would be potter where it doesn't achieve anything, and you would be chayiv where it does achieve something. Where it's, you took it away from a kezayit.
Zuk the Heilige Mishnah.
Hanotel tzipor nav zo bezo, o beshinav. Somebody bites his nails on Shabbos. Or he pulls off his nail, not with a scissor, but with his other finger. Bechein saro, or he now cuts his hair, or svamo, you know, he may bite the hair of his mustache. Bechein zikno, or he's biting on his beard. Bechein hagodelet, so to somebody who braids, a woman who braids her hair. Bechein hakochelet, or she uses her eyeshadow. Bechein hapokeset. Now, hapokeset is one of those things that everybody's got another opinion on what it is. So some learned pokes is to part the hair, pull the hairs carefully through the sides, which got a very sharp part down the middle, which is a particular hairstyle. Some learned pokeset means to actually, Rashi has the weirdest shot, pokeset means to use that mud stuff on your face or a mud pack, which when you peel it off, turns the skin red. Others learn, Phokes said Rashi brings, is just combing your hair, which Tosa says is very unlikely. We always use the word combing. It's a bavachelo sorek. I mean, why would we use Phokes? But we'll see in the Gemara what the chiyuvim would be on these things. So in all of these cases, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev, and the Chachamim say, no, it may be aser mishum shvuz. Shvuz is what we call the mitzvah being shovet on Shabbat. Some read it mishum shvot. The Chachamim are being mechayev you to be shovet on Shabbat. But generally it's assumed that the meaning of shvut means iser derabbanan that are in order to assure shvitat Shabbat. So we call that type of iser iser shvut on Shabbat. So they said there's no iser d'oraita involved over here. And this is not considered to be a way to be gozeis, to bite your nails. There's scissors on your nails. Omer Rabbi Elazar machloket b'yad avu b'kli chayav. Rabbi Eliezer says, now of course the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim and the Mishnah is not whether you're chayav on using a nail clipper. Of course you're chayav on using a nail clipper. The machlokes is whether you're chayav on biting your nails. Well, hey man, I can read the Mishnah myself. Pshita, I mean, it says zu bazu. When it says to use your fingernails to pull off a nail or to bite. I mean, obviously, that's not a nail clipper. No, it's not so simple because ba'adat emer rabbanan b'klinami patri. I don't know why the rabbanan say patur. Maybe the rabbanan say patur because they don't hold that a human nail is considered to be derech giza. So we can learn it out of the Melechas Giza in the Mishkan. And the only reason that it uses this case is to tell me, but, because if I would have said, if you use a nail clipper on Shabbos, so I would have said, oh wow, that's a big kiddush. But of course, Rebbe Eliezer, all the Jerchayev, would have said, never have said your chayev even if you bite him. So in order to make it clear how far Rebbe Eliezer is willing to go, we said, look, if you bite your nails on Shabbos, your chayev, I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachamim who say your putter, you would have been putter on a nail clipper too. Maybe. I'm just coming to make that clear. But on a nail clipper, you're chayev. And the Rabbanan and the argue on Rebbe Eliezer only whether it's considered to be kalach or yad by biting your nails.
Is it shayev?
Yes. We would be saying that it's going on leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. You don't need what it is that you were gozeis.
Why should it be shayev?
Huh?
Why should
the
Avamina
that
the
plea
would be for
Torah?
That's the
Well, there's first of all more than Avamina, because according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be. As Rabbi Yaakov just pointed out. Tosis points this out. And of course, what we mean is the Kli Divrei HaKol Chayav doesn't mean literally Divrei HaKol. It means Divrei HaKol, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Assuming that you're all that I'm watching Zuch LaChayav, you're Chayav. So, you know. Then you'd be chayev on a kli. As a matter of fact, Tosis is troubled by, and how do you know that maybe when it says over the Rabbanan Pater, is because of their holding like Rabbi Shimon, in which case they certainly would have said even be kli, right? How do you know that? So Tosis says, I'll tell you how I know it, because if the chiddush of the Rabbanan were to tell me that you'd be putter even on a kli, then the Mishnah would certainly have taken the case of the kli to tell me the chiddush the kayach of the Rabbanan. Why would it tell us the kayach of chiyav of the kachas aliv the Eliezer? Tell us the chiyav that it's putter at least according to the Rabbanan, right? So the shayla is what? Why would they have said that? I would have thought, in other words, the Rashi says I would have thought that Giza is Davka on something like Tzemer. It has that consistency of it, that it's something that is meant to be taken off, to be used, and so on. Okay? Tosis doesn't like that because he says Gozes is on any Baal Chai. There's no Havamin on a Baal Chai. It would be plucked. We said if you pluck, we had before, if you pluck feathers from a bird in order to fill your pillow with it, your Chai Mishum Gozes. So he certainly couldn't have said Gozes is only on Tzemer. That's for sure. Feathers are not simmer.
Why
But the fact is that you have a use for what you possess.
That's the other question. There's two issues. The derech ha-malacha and the purpose of the malacha. Those are two different things. Even though I'm learning them both out of the Mishkan, everybody agrees that the tzurat ha-malacha has to be learned from the Mishkan. That's what we're calling the av of the malacha. Okay, so therefore, kamashma not to think that. The issue over here has nothing to do with machlokas, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon, or whether gozeis is shayach on a human. And it's only a question of kila achar yad. So therefore, it takes on this case to tell me the Kiddush Rebbe Eliezer. I would have thought kamashma on that, it's not that way. V'yomer Rebbe Eliezer, machloket la'atzmo. Where does Rebbe Eliezer say that if you bite your nails, you're putter, if it's your own nails? But if you are what do they call those women?
Pedicurist.
If you're a pedicurist who has a tendency to bite the other guy's toenails, good Lord. So then it would certainly be kili afriyat. Habala chavero divrei Yaakov patur. Is that not obvious since the Mishnah does say tzipor nav? Well, I might have thought maybe Rebbe Eliezer holds that that's the best pedicure, you know. So ma the tamer Rebbe Eliezer lechavero navi mechayer. I might have said that, no, why does it say your own nails? Because otherwise, the Rabbanan, your own nails is certainly a derech to bite your nails. Gamash malan, that the Rabbanan are matir, not matir, but poter, even on your own nails. But ain't nothing on me. The Rebbe Eliezer, that's not true, but Rebbe Eliezer, the bottom line is, would have agreed that if it's someone else's nails, that's not considered to be a derech. V'chein saro. Tana hanotel malei piazo.
Some mothers do
Sorry?
Bite the nails.
Who? Mothers. Mothers of children. I was thinking about that. They're afraid to cut the skin. With Rabbanu Bimoda than a child, it is the derech of Gizah. But it's not the derech of Gizah, probably. Even though it's the derech to do it here, but it isn't the derech of Gizah to bite. It could be that it's not the Tzuras HaMalachas time. Hanotu Malopi Hazu Chayav. If you fill up the tip of your scissors, that's the shear of Giza. What is that? Kama Malopi Hazu. Omrevir Shtayim. Two hairs. Two hairs is the tip of your scissor. How could that be? V'atanyu L'karachat Shtayim. It says, Hanotel Malopi Hazu Yer Chayav Agave Shabbos. And as far as the chiyuv of karachat al hamet is concerned, which is an issur, you're not allowed to tear hair on a mate, the shira over there is two. So obviously two is not malopi azug. Then how are you contrasting the two? For Shabbos it's malopi azug, but for karachat it's two. And it's obviously malopi azug is not two. Just it says Rabbi Yehuda, no. Ema b'chein l'karachat, and it's true as well for karachat, that the shear is the same as Malopi Azug. Of course, with Karachat, you're not using Azug. You're tearing the hair. But the shear is to tear out two hairs. Shtayim. Taninami hachi. Hanotel Malopi Azug b'Shabbat Chayev. V'kama Malopi Azug. Shtayim. There we go. Now, Rebbe Eliezer says, no, even one hair. Umodim chachomim l'Rebbe Eliezer. Now, the chachomim amodet Rebbe Eliezer, that if you've got a youngster who's got one white hair, and he pulls out that white hair. Aha. Now he's doing something valuable. Huh? Now he's young again. He's got himself nice black hair. So if you're malakeh levanot mitoch shechorot, so then every step towards youth is valuable. And therefore, afirachat chayav. Truth is, so you're not allowed to take out your white hairs even during the week. You might as well be putting on your dress when you walk out. I mean, what kind of guy are you anyway? So Mamela, what he-man is concerned about looking young?
The laket is also.
No, the laket at the end. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tziporen Shapiresh Ruba, Vitzitzin Shapiresh Ruban, Biyad Mutar, Bekli Chayav Chatat. Interesting. If you've got a hangnail, which is mostly off, so then you can bite it off or pull it off with your fingers on Shabbos. But if you would use a scissors, you'd be chayav chatas. What? It's kind of meek and meaty that the kli chayav chatas would be yad mutter lechatchila. We're matir lechatchila, something that if you would do it one way, it would be an issur d'rabbanan. So but they're doing it another way, so anyway, you're only going to come to an issur d'rabbanan. But if you're telling God to come to an issur d'oraisa, so then we wouldn't have been matir lechatchila to do it the other way. Ah, okay, coming, you're right. There's a piece over here we left out. Pirshu Ruban, v'yad mutar, if they were already mostly off, whether it's a hangnail or what do they call it, where you have this is skin that, you know, that pulls off a little bit. You know, that often happens at the edge of a nail where it's painful, you have a little piece of skin that is torn off. There's a name for that, I think. Okay, so there, Biyad would be mutl chatchila, Bikli would be potter, because it's already mostly off. So the male is considered to be meikra, then it's already gozus. But it's also min rabban, lo pirshuruban, but if it would be mostly attached, then if you tore it off, Biyad would be potter, but they're being allowed to. Avalasur, Bikli chayab chatas. That's what it's talking about. Omer Yira Alokka Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Actually, that's how we pass him to be matir, biting your nail off on Shabbos if it's already hanging. Omer Rabba Bar Bachadam Rabbi Yochanan. This is only if it's making you crazy. It's been mitzayer you. So it depends on the direction that it was poreish. Hu shapir shel klapei mala u'mitzayerot oto. So since it's now continuing, Rashi says, although some change the gears in the Rashi, klape mala is that it's towards the nail from underneath, and therefore it's very painful. But Tosfos says klape mala in the Gemara never means what it means in the colloquial. Klape mala is only towards the guf, not klape mala of the organ itself. So klape mala would mean towards your arm, which is the norm. So in other words, if the nail is hanging, it's aimed into the nail and it's pulling at you, and that really is very painful.
Cuticle.
Yeah, which starts hurting now the under part of the nail. The raya is, when it comes to mila, we say min ha'atara v'lemala, or when it comes to holding oneself not to be chabita, min ha'atara v'lemala. Min ha'atara v'lemala doesn't mean to the top of the organ. Min ha'atara v'lemala means towards the body. So it doesn't say that's always what milamala means. You're doing is not towards the body, not towards the top of the finger. Godelet, kochelet, kokeset, all of these cases are chayev aliba de Rebbe Eliezer. Why? Mishumai mechayev. Omre bavin, omre b'yezer, Rebbe Chanina. Well, look, godelet, basically you're braiding your hair, so that's oreget. It's like you're weaving. And kochelet, that's like you're writing. And pokeset, well, it's because you're tovet. It's like spinning. Again, according to Rashi, this is really a little bit far-fetched. You know, if you're talking about a mud bath. He says, well, you know, before you put this stuff on your face, you know, this is like a doughy thing. You rub it in your hands, you know, and then you put it on. So you have to make like a thread of it. So it's like tovet. Or if it's talking about the pokeset, where you're pulling the hair to either side, so you're twisting them, so it's like you're twisting threads together. So the Rabbanan said at the Sovet Rabbi Avod, I mean, come on, the chiderech ariga bekach, this is so far-fetched. This is called ariga, braiding hair. That's you would make a material like that? With all these thick pieces in it. That's not the derech of ariga. This is called kotev. You're using an eyeglass shadow pencil. You're right. That's called kotev. I mean, you're not writing any symbol. You're just making a mark. I mean, that's not kotev. I don't care if you want to call it a pencil. That's not the derech of ktiva. You're rubbing some hairs together. That's called tviyah. I mean, it just doesn't stick together. It's just, that's not tviyah. Elam Rabbi Avuna, I don't know who said that pshat. L'dibima farsha l'mineta Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. I had an intelligent pshat said over to me by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Kochelet isn't writing. Kochelet is dying. It's dying the skin. The same way if you dye skins to make patent leather shoes. What's the difference if you're, she's dying now the skin of her face with the eyeshadow pencil? Well, that's right. That's the Shiloh over here. The Rabbanan don't agree. Godela to pokeset, interestingly enough, is mishum boneh. She is building her hair. Ah, now wait. I like the first one. The second one, I think that's stretching it a bit. I mean, there are binyan bekakwa. This is similar to building a building. I'm here. Yeah. What kind of binyan is that? Says the Gemara, oh, absolutely. I mean, very clearly it's binyan. As a matter of fact, the first binyan in the world was a hairbread. Because, Kedadar Shrib Shimon ben Manasseh, Vayiven Hashem Elokim et Atzela. Now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to build the Chava out of Adam Rishon's rib? This teaches us that he did her hair. Malamit Shekil Ah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became Chava's hairdresser. The Heviyai Tzel Adam, he wanted her to look pretty and nice, and he was the Shushbinin, so he had to do a whole Chinah thing and everything, you know, and then present her to Adam Rishon. And why do I say this? Shekein Bekarche Hayam Korin V'Kleita Benita. Because you find out there in the island, La Isla Bonita, you heard that, right? That's the Madonna song, right? Yeah. You don't know Madonna? Ah, Texas boy. So the Bonita is actually a Kleita. So when a woman goes out with these braids, what she's really done is Bonita herself. So that means that there's a simon that Vayivan Hashem is Kleita. He did her hair, which tells you that it's actually a meleches binyan, beremet. Okay, we'll see more on these interesting ideas tomorrow.
Hashem had to pretty up Chava.
Even though he prettied her up, did you understand that Adam Rishon was complaining the whole time about her?
But he had nothing compared to, he'd never seen her before.
You mean you think that beauty is only relative, do you? You think that if you would have just been born on some desert island where the women walk around like a bunch of wild Indians and never do anything that they would be, did you ever notice the way animals preen themselves? Nobody taught them. It's part of the competitive development of the biology, isn't it? So, and you think when you pretty up your hair, that it's not very similar to what those apes are doing? Is that what you think?
Exactly. So there,
there you go.
Yeah. There was no competition.
And take a look at those bower birds and take a look how they decorate their homes and you know exactly what you're doing.
Did we learn in Brachas that the way to pick up the coast, take with your left hand, you put it in your right hand, you hold your right hand, you look into
pick up the ghost?
Coast.
Coast. The coast.
Right? That you're not supposed to support it with your left hand? Well, we had a whole sugya yesterday.
About Misayea? Yeah. At Ingbo Mamish?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't passel, but it's not nice. But it won't passel the Avoda. But it's certainly what you want to do is you want to show that your entirety is given over to you, you mean. Doesn't mean like Achila, it's a nice thing to do. Let's do our chasron, actually. Yes. Turn off me. Oh, I forgot. I'll do it right now.
Do what?
Get that book.
No, that's not
what I want. Oh, it's not? You want to apologize for not bringing the kids today?
No.
So what do you want? For Shabbos. I got a plan. I got a big plan. I'm going over for a celebration of the Rosenberg. But you never know. You know, we might knock on your door just to eat the dessert.
Oh. Getting out of the
office. Bezrat Hashem, I'm around. I'm walking. But I will be here, Bezrat Hashem, and expect to see you bright and early. We've been missing you. Don't tell me you were planning on Chazonia Festa.
See how who's around.
Uh-huh. Okay.
By the way, my wife is onto this. I don't know how women do it, but they have this way of being in several places at once. And I just haven't got it down yet. What do you mean you're doing that?
But if that's the case, don't tell one of them anything you did with the others.
No,
because just you might think it's the same person, but she ain't going to think it's the same person. All right, we're ready to start with the Mishnah today. Hamotzi ochlin at tzadikim alamit beis. Hamotzi ochlin b'chodik shur b'kli patur afala kli. Shakli tveilalo. Tachay b'mitah patur afala mitah shemitah tveilalo. Et hamet b'mitah chayav. V'chein kizayit min hamet. Kizayit min hamet b'ilal. Hadash min hasheret chayav. V'mishim ha-motzav. Tanu Rabban Hamati Yafun Kishiur Im Bekli Chayav Alokman Badar Akli Im Ayav Akli Tzorek Lo Chayav Apal Akli. What? Shmamina Ocho Shnei Zese Chela Bela Mechot Chayav Shnayim Om Rif Sheze No Chama Eskinan Kagon Sheshok Agalokman Mehezid Al Akli Maatskal Ravashi Ba Apal Akli Katani El Om Ravashi Kagon Sheshagar Vizel Vizel Menodalo Vepazar Menodalo. And of course, it would be telling the book that Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Hashanah Lakish. Et achar b'mitah patur af al hamitah. Wait, why? Because of the kind of said that small. Leima ma'asnis Rabbi Yedasun Yivel Rabban and the Tanya Matzvayim Achayev Al Zorishit Rabbim. Ben Chayim Ben Shkutim Chayav Rabbi Yedasun Amar Al Shkutim Chayav Al Achayim Pturim Shachayim Asiyat that small. Omar Rav Afil Tema Rabbana. Akan lo pligi Rabbana later Rabbi Yedasun. Ela bivei machayev of the mishar b'tei nafshayev. Aval adam l'chay, no seh et atzmo, afilo rabonim odu. Omer rabad bar aval rabo, v'had etan ben b'tirah matir b'sus. V'tani ben b'tirah matir b'sus, v'nei shuos sebo melokha, she'en chayev in alav b'shah b'sachat, is anyway, because achay no seh et atzmo. V'yom rabbi yopin ben b'tirah, and rabbi Natan, amru davar achat, according to you, yamad alo pligi rabonim later in Natan. Ela bivei machayev of. And that's only Mishum the Sharbatin of Shayu. So then what's it got to do with Ben Bateira and Rabbi Natan? Ahmed Afilo Rabbanan order. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan is like Rabbi Natan. It's talking about Bersus HaMiyuchad La'ofot. Mi'ika Sus HaMiyuchad La'ofot. Ika Debei V'yadan. So these Ofot, indeed, are the equivalent of not doing a malach. Omer Yochan Moda Rabbi Natan Bikafut. Omer Ravada Barmat Labaya, Vahani Pasoy, the commanding Kvite Damu. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yochan said that Ben Batero allows you to have a sus even in Poras, and Rabbi Natan Amruda Barakat, so apparently Kafut, like these guys are, is also a Malokha that is Mutter on Earth, Patron Shabbat. No, Hatam Ramot Rucho, the Nakit Lu, these guys can move. Dahu Pardashka, the Ratak Malka, and you should have watched him run. It's a mate, the Mitakayav, Kinkisait, and a mate, Omarabba. Omarabba, Baba, Konam of Yokum, Omar of Yosef, Omar of Shimon, the Mokish. Poter, I already Shimon, even when you're much yet, I'm made for Kovro. Omarabba, Motor of Shimon, Bimar, like Porbo. The Sefer Torah likrot bo that you're chayav. I should hope so. Pshita, ah, nami malach shim tzichu begufei. So what is a malach shim tzichu begufei? According to Rebbe Shimon Echem Meshkakas. No, because ma the teman ad hika let's say begufo u legufa. You're going ma la sot lo tas v'lachpor after you made the tas. The Sefer Torah la agia, then it's ready for kriya and then you're karevo. Kamash mala. Ahu shechav ad avi bedro keret. Shorib nakba yitzla fuke le karmelik. Come on, Rabbi Shimon. Aim at a part of Rabbi Shimon if he have chatat, but he still holds his list of Rabbanim Yehika. Amale Elohim Dayal Tebe'at. Afil Rabbi Yehuda. Mikamina Lushit Rabbim Lekarmelit Kamina. And Gadol Kevod Abriot Shedochet Lota Asesha Betoran. Tana Tamatolish Simane Tuma. Or Hichbah Michya Over Belota Aseh Yitma. Achat b'shtayim chayav. Achat b'shalosh. Nachon amar chayav sheshen amar batur. But nachon amar chayav because even this is a hani ma'asa. Because im ishtak, which is one more, azra tuma. Rav sheshen amar potter. What's the difference? What will be? Hashtem yes. Hayita la tuma. You didn't do anything.
Omrachay should be non-minala, that bringing things up to boundaries doesn't matter. It's not. Henke Zayit, men ametke Zayit, men anabela chayav, ha-chatzi Zayit patur, but Tanya chatzi Zayit chayav, so what are you going to do? So my love, what a Tanya chayav, dafik chatzi Zayit mikke Zayit, what is on patur, dafik chatzi Zayit mikke Zayit umechza. But not necessarily. I mean, maybe idi, it would be chayav, and then both of your cases, when it says patur, it means it's patur, where there was an awful lot, and you took it, and you didn't bring it up to the boundaries. But had you brought it out to the boundaries, maybe behind. Hanoto tzibonav zo bezo b'shina, b'chein saro, b'chein svamo, b'chein zigno, b'chein agudelet o kuchelet o pokeset, rabbi Eliezer b'chayev, b'chachomim osrim b'shem shvut. Omar rabbi Elazar, machloket between rabbi Eliezer and the chachomim, is dafka b'yad, but if you use a nail clipper, you're fired. Pshita, zo bezo tznan. Mao the tame of the truth, Rabbanim would be matter even bikli. I mean, they would have matter even bikli. How did Tani Zubazu is Lodiach, a Tokhot of Eliezer, who's Bechayev even by mouth? Kamash Malan, the Omar Rabbi Elazar, Machloket is where he cuts his own nails in this odd fashion. So over there, Rabbi Eliezer is Bechayev. Aval Chabero, for sure, Debre Akol Patur. Well, yes, not obvious, Tzipor Navtna. Mother Tayman, the truth is, Rabbi Eliezer would even be Mechayev, this pedicurist, Lechaveru Nami Mechayev. Hadik Tanik Tzipor Nav, Zodiach HaKochot Rabbanan, Kamashma, no, but that's not the Pshat. Vechein Sa'aro, Tana, Anoto Molei Pi Azok Chayav. What's that shear? I'm going to need two hairs. Aiva Tanya Ule Karachat Shtayim. Aiva Vechein Le Karachat Shear Shtayim. Tanya Ariyoke Anoto Molei Pi Azok B'Shabes Chayim. Kama Malopi Azut Shtayim, Rebbe Eliezer on there, even Achat. And the Chachomi would be motive to Rebbe Eliezer from Malakit Levanot Mitok Shkorot, that over there every white hair counts. Afiru Achat Chayav. In fact, over Zafiru Bechol Aser, Bishop Shemelo Yubash Gebers in Latisha. Tanya Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Siporin Shapirish Ruba, Vetzitzin Shapirishu Ruban, Biyad Mutar Bekli Chayav Chatat. Such a thing that Bekli Chayav Chatat would be matter of Chachila? Hachikama, Pirshu Ruban Biyad Mutar Bekli would be Potter, but it's still Osir. But if Lo Pirshu Ruban, then even Biyad it's Osir, it's Potter, but it's Osir. Bekli Chayav Chatas. Omer Rebbe Yehuda Alok Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. Omer Abba Bar Bachana Rebbe Yochanan. Vuhu She Pirshu Klapi Mala Umetzarot Uto. Vechina Gudelet. Gudelet Rochelet Pakesi Bishumai Mechayev. Omer Bobin Omer Rebbe Yisrael Rebbe Fanina. Godelet is Mishum Oregen, Kochelet is Mishum Kotevet, and Pokeset is Mishum Tova. Amr ibn Amr, Barang Amin Rabbi Abu, wow, Derech Amin Gabaka, Derech Tvi Babaka, Derech Tvi Abaka, El Amr Rabbi Abu, I got it straight from Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Kanina, but the Dimi Farshali Minei the Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Kanina, Kochelet is Mishum Tova, not Mishum Kote, Godelet or Pokeset is Mishum Bonesh, Ki Derech Binyin Bekach, In, Ki the Dorish Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Vayiven Hashem Elokim Tatsila, Melamed Shekilah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechava, Veyivya Etzel Adam, Sheken Bekarchei Hayam, Korin, Betlaita, Banita.
Banita is pretty.
Mm-hmm. This is La'ayel Banita.